Welcome to the Engage Podcast from Blackbaud, the podcast for people dedicated to purpose-driven work. From nonprofit fundraising and finance to grant-making, education, and corporate social responsibility, we're talking with sector experts and thought leaders about the best practices and latest trends that will help you grow your impact.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Vavra. I'm joined by Jessica Thrift. We're strategic consultants at Blackbaud. In this podcast, we'll be talking about some last-minute tips for end-of-year fundraising. It's already December, so as the year draws to a close, we want to share some practical advice, some proven tactics, and some ideas that can help you maximize your impact in these final weeks of the year.
Hey, Amy, I'm so glad to be here with you. I am excited to talk about one of the most critical times for nonprofits. Of course, it's the final stretch of the year.
That's right. Year-end giving is really the final mile. Although everyone's been working hard all year, we do know that Q4 always accounts for over 30% of annual revenue. So although there may be a bit of fatigue, we know that finishing strong really matters.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. We know that in the fundraising world, December is not just another month. It's a time when donors are really engaged. People are reflecting on the year. They're feeling generous. They're giving a lot of donations as well as gifts in their personal lives. And yes, of course, everybody's thinking about tax benefits at this time of the year. So between Giving Tuesday and December 31st is kind of the final mile of the fundraising year. When we're in this time, we want to think about kind of how we're framing the messages that we need to get in front of people in a really concise way to build momentum so that we can actually convert all of the contacts we're going to try and make with people and convert those into donations. We're talking about a strategy that you'll be developing for your fundraising program that will be a repeatable strategy that you can use from now until December 31st to kind of give you the best chance to have that strong final mile of this race.
Exactly. And that's always our goal, is to work smarter. So we want this to be something that you can tweak and use year over year so that December isn't quite as daunting each year. We know Giving Tuesday has already passed. Congratulations. But it's not the finish line. It's basically the kickoff to year-end giving. And so now is the time to try to convert that momentum into results.
Yeah, I think when we talk about Giving Tuesday not as the finish line, but really the kickoff to year-end giving, it brings us back to kind of what type of internal analytics did we get from Giving Tuesday that we can use to inform what we do for the rest of the year. So, you know, what was our participation rate? What pages were donors looking at? What was our average gift? What pages activated early? What channels of communication are really working the best for us? Those type of metrics can really help us have a clear goal of what we want to do to prioritize all of the follow-up that we'll do after Giving Tuesday.
Exactly. That data is really helpful in figuring out what resonated with your donors and what maybe didn't or what fell flat. You can definitely use this to tweak your year end. But practically, let's think about what that looks like. Segmentation is key right now. People are obviously getting lots of asks from lots of organizations. There's always a bit of concern right now about donor fatigue. And segmentation is one of the ways that we can combat that. So we want to be pulling LIBUNT and CYBUNT lists. We want to look at the different, you know, what your goal is with each donor. Is it someone you want to upgrade their year of giving? You think that they can give more than they have so far this year? Is it a gift that hasn't come in yet where you're asking outright for them to renew their support? Or is it a lower level donor that you're hoping to convert to a recurring gift donor? So it's a lot of different buckets, but we definitely want to be reaching people where they are so that each outreach feels as personal as it possibly can.
Yeah, especially with those Giving Tuesday donors, we want it to feel like we are recognizing the way that they engaged on Giving Tuesday. And then we want to use that to create kind of like a mini cadence for how we communicate with them, you know, through this kind of onboarding process. So we want to follow the steps of thanking them, showing the impact of their gift, and then, you know, thinking about what is the next ask that's going to come for them. We have seen in the Blackbaud world that these type of donors can be retained at a higher rate. Some recent analysis that I saw showed that 65% of Giving Tuesday donors gave again the next year, compared to 52% of earlier year donors. So if we think about these donors as being engaged, excited, having momentum, let's think about how we keep that going and keep it growing. We're looking at really the participation rate and also the average donation value to build out those segments that we're thinking about for the rest of the year and even into next year as we're trying to retain our Giving Tuesday donors. One thing I'm thinking about a lot right now is online giving, which has been really strong this year. We're leaning into digital channels and online channels more and more, not just email, although email is still important, but SMS and social media are really important in these last 6 weeks. We can turn around messages quickly and get in front of a lot of people. And one interesting thing I saw in some of the Blackbaud Institute research recently was in 2024, when nonprofit organizations were competing against a high spending election cycle with a lot of political fundraising, online giving was still up and year-end volume was resilient even at that time. So I think it is a channel that needs to have a lot of our attention on it. So when we talk about that, we want to really keep it simple, right? One ask per message. Don't really muddle the message, especially in online messaging. We need for it to be quick. We need for it to be clear. We need to have frictionless forms. So if you haven't tested your gift forms lately, you don't know what the donor experience is like, get on your website and test all of your gift forms, make sure that they're working and that it's easy. Whatever information you can take off of it in order to make it go a little more quickly, maybe consider if this is a time of year when you would do that. And then think about also how you can show the progress. Like, how do we show the progress toward our goal? And that may be dollars, it may be participation rates, it may be numbers of donors, it may be numbers of animals adopted. You know, there are a lot of ways to kind of tell the story of progress to your community. And so think about, like, how do we put that message of progress on our social media channels? And when we think about cadence at this time of the year, we're going to be looking for probably 5 touches before December 31st. So can we tell the impact? Can we tell the story of our organization this week? Maybe December 17th, we're going to put out a match. We're going to have some urgency, whatever it takes to create urgency in your solicitations. We're going to put that out the week of December 17th. And then when we think about what kind of advocates, board members, superstar volunteers, people involved in our story that could be kind of a profile that we feature, maybe December 22nd, we're putting that message out. December 29th, we might switch to more of an administrative reminder. Hey, the tax year is ending. This is your moment to get your tax donations in. And then December 31st is kind of like a final pitch. Like, maybe there's an AM and a PM, like, this is your chance to make your 2025 donation. So think about, like, what would the cadence look like for me and my organization? How could I fit in these 5 different messages before the end of the year?
And one thing to keep in mind when you're doing that is, yes, we want to reach different groups of people, and we want to make sure that someone that donated a week ago is not getting a message saying, hey, we miss you, we haven't received your gift this year. So those queries do need to be updated as you're going through, but you can build them now. So again, anything you can do ahead of time, especially to take a little off your plate that week between Christmas and New Year's, definitely would recommend getting those segments set up, and then you can adjust them as gifts come in and are processed so that the right people are getting the right message. So as we're doing this, I know we did just make it through Giving Tuesday, and we want to take a look at a few of the lessons there and how to keep interacting with your Giving Tuesday supporters. So you all may have seen, but the Giving Tuesday this year was up about 13% more, was raised. It was a total of about $4 billion. And what we've learned from kind of which campaigns there work, we're seeing that clear, urgent needs are connecting with people. So people want to make that type of an impact. They want to give to organizations with mission-aligned creative. So that means when you're looking at what you're sending out, does it connect back to your mission? We don't need to go broader. The right donors will find you, but you want that messaging. And then again, as we know and are drilling here, we want to personalize the ask so that the right group of people are being asked for the right amount, the right type of gift. So as much as possible, that's something we want to do. In terms of your Giving Tuesday donors, what we can do is take a look at that group. So when we're talking about segments, we can pull out Giving Tuesday donors and take a look at those that are either new donors or their Giving Tuesday is their gift for the year. So we're not talking about your board members that gave on Giving Tuesday to be able to share it on Facebook. Here we're really talking about your run-of-the-mill Giving Tuesday donors. Yes, they did just give, but this is the right time to reach back out. We want to reach out with a softer ask, often introducing the idea of becoming a recurring gift donor. So that can be followed up with a little bit later this month with a suggested monthly amount. And again, talking about maybe a gift ladder here. So here's what $10 could do. Here's what $25 a month can do. So we really just want to make sure that we're meeting them where they are and giving them the chance to upgrade if they are interested in doing that. When we talk about what solicitations really are creating those gifts, we want to borrow from the best practices that you already know. And that really just means we want them to be clear. We don't need to make complex asks. You don't need to explain your entire organization and what the program does in depth. Each touch, we just want one offer. So please upgrade, please renew, please make a first gift. And we want one outcome. So again, we're not giving people a plethora of choices here. This isn't a menu. We're just finding the right group and giving them the ask that is most likely to connect. This can also be a good time of year to leverage a matching gift ask. So if that worked well for you on Giving Tuesday, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Or if you weren't able to find one or utilize that for Giving Tuesday, this could be a good time to put together a year-end matching gift ask. You can take a look at your year-over-year analytics and see if there are certain times or days that perform better for you. Of course, you can look at that information generally, but we also know different types of organizations, different donors do tend to give at different times. So you can use that to figure out when you can leverage the matching gift ask. It could be a straight matching gift, or if you really want to make a sustainer push, you could have somebody matching those sustaining gift donations up to a certain point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thinking about those internal analytics, like what are the best days and times? What are the best subject line tactics to use? I've heard that emails on December 30th can perform better than other year-end dates. Is that true at your organization? Is that something that you might want to try this year? I've also heard that the subject line with the word reminder in it is far less likely to be open than other subject lines. And I think it's a really good point that if we are segmenting those lists, even though we're pushing out a lot of different messages, if we're segmenting our messages correctly, then hopefully we're not going to be bombarding those donors. I know Amy said it before, but this is the time of year when we think a lot about how do we avoid donor fatigue.
Yes, I was just laughing when you said the reminder email. I think we all get plenty of emails with the word reminder in it during the month of December. And I don't know, it doesn't inspire a warm, generous feeling in me. So I definitely can see why that might be a poorer choice of an email subject line. Yes, again, I know we're hammering it home, but segmentation really matters here. And that is how you're going to reach the right people and have them convert to giving. So again, build those lists now. They'll update as gifts come in. As you get closer, you can increase your urgency in the asks, but we definitely want to be targeting the right people. And you really don't want to be creating any additional confusion about whether or not someone's gift came in by sending an email asking about their gift if they've gave online 3 days prior.
Yeah. And if I could even just summarize all the ideas that we're thinking through right now, I think I would write down on your notebook one ask per message, look at how the giving can be frictionless, whether that's pre-fill, using wallet, different types of digital wallets, what kind of social proof are we showing to tell our story, whether that's highlighting recent supporters, progress toward goal, highlighting volunteers, you know, anything like that, recent cat adoptions, if you're an animal shelter or something. And then also doing that immediate gratitude, right? This is where we're talking about taking those year-end gifts that might be impulse gifts of new people to our donor community and starting to lay the groundwork to retain those people and develop them as donors in our donor pipeline over time. What metrics are you watching at this time of year, Amy?
Really, once I am started with this cadence going out, I'm looking every day. I'm checking the open rates and the click rates. I'm looking to see if there's a big drop off at any point. That's a sign, you know, that maybe an email didn't land or that there could be some sort of technical issue too that we need to troubleshoot. I'm looking at how many people open the form but don't finish giving. That tells me that sometimes the giving forms are too cumbersome and we need to take off data that we don't need filled out so that as soon as someone opens it, if they're ready, they can make a gift. Also checking average gift, trying to see kind of how that compares year over year also in December. And if you have a match going, that's another thing to just keep tracking and updating on how you're going, how you're comparing to the gift match. Finally, are there an abnormal number of refunds or chargebacks or anything that it should just kind of ring an alarm bell? You need to look into a little bit more and see what might be going on there.
Yeah. And you know, what you said about like average gift, keeping track of new sustainers and things like that. Like, I think this is a time of year when we have to do rapid cycle testing, for lack of any other phrase or description of that process. But if we find that something is landing really well, a certain message is producing a higher average gift or more sustainer yield than we would suspect or expect, then maybe we can use that to amplify the messages for the rest of the year. Like, learn as you go. We're giving you kind of an infrastructure, a plan, a framework so that you can deliver on it, but know that like you can respond to the information that's coming in as well and adapt those messages. And don't forget, December 31st is huge. Make sure you're sending two touches on that day and make it easy for people to give on December 31st. I feel like I'm at my point in the fundraising journey where I should be past the point where I give on December 31st, but I do make a lot of impulse donations on December 31st, even as someone who should have thought about it a little bit earlier. I'm still guilty of that all the time. And it's not because I didn't care, but just because I got so busy. And that is a day when I sit down and I actually, you know, go through my emails and sort things and make donations. So let's make sure that you are in front of people like me on that day.
Well, it's not just you. December is busy. And that is part of why you want to be reaching out to people so much. There's a lot going on. And it's very easy to mean to do something and not get to it until the last day of the year. So with all of that, we hope these tips will help you maximize your year-end efforts. They're not one size fits all. So like Jess was saying, test them out, see what's working for you, see what resonates with your donors and grow and build on that. Hopefully this end of year will be successful and that will be something that you can bring all of these learnings into next December and have a framework already in place.
Yeah. And if you have great success, we'd love to hear about it. There is a free end of year toolkit that Blackbaud offers with checklists and templates that you may be able to use as a starting point in developing your own end of year plan. But, you know, we're wishing you all the luck and many smooth transactions and great support for your organization.
Thanks to all of you for listening and joining us on today's episode of the Engage Podcast. Here's to a successful year end.
Yes, good luck.